Much fun meeting Eric's friends that I forgot that we had something else. Well, today is a special day, and we're going to be talking about a lot about the Alpha program that some of you have heard about. And I want to start us off with a story that I think sort of sets the tone. This is a true story. I found it on the Gospel Coalition website. That is a terrific website. I encourage all of you to go there. There's food for the soul, humor, insightful commentary on many things. So this story I found there this week. According to the Athens Review, an atheist who had threatened to sue a Texas county over the display of a nativity scene says he is completely flabbergasted that Christians from that same county provided him financial assistance for a medical program. Do you get that? Christians in a county, and this atheist was planning to sue the church because they had a nativity scene in a public area. And so here's the story. "My wife and I never had a Christian do anything nice for us," said Patrick Green. "Just the opposite. Last month, Green, an activist with a long history of bringing lawsuits related to displays of Christian imagery, threatened to sue Henderson County if county officials allowed a nativity scene to be placed on the courthouse lawn next Christmas. Green had intended to represent himself in the lawsuit, but he dropped the threat when he discovered that he had a detached retina and he may lose his sight. There is no way for me to go up there if I'm blind," said Green, who lives in San Antonio, nearly 300 miles from the Henderson County Courthouse. Green said he has no insurance to pay for an operation that might save his sight, and he can't even pay for the exam that will confirm the diagnosis of a detached retina. "Why waste the money if I can't do anything about it?" he told the local newspapers. And a Christian in Henderson County read the local newspapers, or read the paper in which this story appeared. When Jessica Cry, a member of Sand Springs Baptist Church in Athens, read on the internet about Green's troubles, she felt compelled to help. Cry told her pastor, Reverend Eric Graham, who contacted Green and inquired about how the church might help him. Green, the atheist, told Graham, the pastor, "I have a more immediate need. I said, if you really want to do something to help, we need groceries," said Green. And Green, the atheist, told his wife about the pastor's offer, and she said, "They're willing to help us." And Green thought, well, maybe they'll give us $50 or $100. And a few days later, Jessica and the members of her church made good, and they brought $400 over to the Greens' home. And Green, the atheist, said, "I can't believe it. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone." I don't know. Well, these things happen in the Twilight Zone, but anyway. The money went to help pay the rent and provide necessities from the grocery store. The contributions didn't stop at $400 either, Cry said. More money is being gathered by the church to give to this atheist. Green is so amazed by the Christians in Henderson County, he's sharing the story through the media, and he's thinking about writing a book. "I'm going to call it The Real Christians of Henderson County, Texas," Green said. "These people are acting just the way the Bible says to act." He's planning to publish an e-book describing the story. He says, "I'm dedicating the book to my wife, the young lady who started the idea, and to the young lady, Jessica Cry, I believe her name is. She read the story and contacted her pastor. His wife, the Christian girl, woman, and the pastor are the objects of dedication." So the comment on the Gospel Coalition website was as follows. "Jesus commanded us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Far too often we get bogged down in fighting false cultural battles like the war on Christmas, and we forget that the enemies that our Lord commands us to love are also our neighbors, and in fact, they're the people who may persecute us or oppose us. But when we take time to show concern and charity, as the Christians in Henderson County did, it can melt the hardest of hearts." So here's the part of the story that I like. Here's the end. "I've decided," Green says, the atheist, "I've decided to show my appreciation to the Christian community for all their help, and I'm going to buy a star for the top of the nativity scene." says Green. You people can figure out how to plug it in. A little crustiness, a little grace, is just this dynamic mix of God at work. So there you have it. Well, so I'm reading you that story because, how am I wondering? Just, you know, show of hands. Any of you had lunch with a prostitute this week? Or how about somebody in the mafia? Kevin? No? So Jesus, the Pharisees were angry at Jesus because he was continually eating with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. So let's stand out of respect for God's word as we turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, 27 to 32. You should have the insert in your bulletin. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, to our shame, we admit that we are not on earth the way your Son was on earth, that we so often forget our calling given by him, that we, as he said, "As the Father sent me, even so I send you." He says in Luke 19, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And if we were to raise our hands for every one of us who has led someone to Christ in the last week or month or since Christmas or since the Christmas before, all too few of us could raise our hands. Thank you, Father, that in your lavish grace, that you are continually at work among us, as Chris said earlier, to make us more like your Son. And thank you that you've raised up Christians around the world who do care about your agenda and who are active and committed in carrying it out. Lord, as we learn today about Alpha, be magnified, as we sang before. Be honored. May your fame spread. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Today we're going to have four guest speakers, and I'm going to introduce two of them to you now. The first one is Ning Dengning. Would you come and stand beside me? And Ning is a native of China. When she and her husband Jing Dan lived until moving in North Carolina, and they were there for several years. And when they were in North Carolina, Ning received her nursing degree. She's now an RN. And she and her husband, also in North Carolina, came to know Jesus Christ. After her degree, she and her husband moved to Plainsboro, New Jersey. And Ning's husband, has a job at Siemens. They have a baby child, a son named Albert, who's named after Albert Einstein. And they have high hopes for this young man. They worship at a dear sister church to us, Westerly Road. It's actually in a different denomination, but that doesn't matter. Westerly Road Church in Houston, pastored by Matt Restucia, a friend of mine, is the home church of... Actually, are you at Westerly?
Yes.
Yeah, both Ning and Marianne are at Westerly. And Ning will come and speak first. Ning said that she's a little hesitant about giving her testimony this morning, so she needs a warm Crossroads welcome.
You're on. Chris's mic. You're on.
So I'm on?
Okay.
Put this in my pocket. Good morning, brothers, sisters, and friends. My name is Ning Deng. I'm very honored to be here to share my experience with my Lord and the Alpha X program I had last summer. I became a Christian 8 years ago. It's not now. When my husband and I, we both in North Carolina in the school. My husband and I had never heard about gossip when we are in China. We came to the Lord through our friends, who were the couple. They picked us from the airport and became our host family when we first arrived in the United States. However, my motivation to join a program such as Alpha started 4 years ago when my non-Christian friend, she's my roommate, made a comment to me. She said, Ning, I think you only make Christian friends. I remember at the moment I was not happy because I think I was very friendly to her. However, it was like a wake-up call. When I searched deep inside, I had to agree with her. After a couple of years being Christian, I found it had become harder and harder to have non-Christian friends around me. So what's the problem with me? I asked myself that night, and the answer was very clear. I had lost my first love. I forgot I was not born as a Christian, but God adopted me as his daughter. I agree with one of the Alpha leader, Dick. He said, there is never of maturity you have to experience. You cannot grow up maturity without practicing his love. After that conversation with my non-Christian roommate, I began to find more opportunities where I could serve other people instead of just receiving love from my Lord. When I was in school in my nursing degree in North Carolina, the Lord had blessed me in so many different ways. One of the greatest blessings I got from him, he brought me a very mature spiritual mentor. When I just started my nursing school, I have to move to an area where it's 2 hours away from my original Asian church, the home church. So I needed to find a new church. There's a huge Baptist church nearby. So I went to there. I sat in the huge church, knowing nobody, and asked the Lord desperately for discipleship. Then American lady, she came to me and introduced herself and her 2 sons to me. She also invited me home for dinner after the fact. She had discipled me for 3 years. Under her encouragement and supervision, I could able to open my house and host a small Chinese Bible study for Chinese women. In a home environment, I found it was easier to meet new friends and truly develop a relationship. I was able to witness 4 ladies became believers during that time. 2 years ago, I finished my nursing program, which was another great blessing I thought I could never deserve. I was the only Asian girl survived in our nursing program. Because my husband got a job in New Jersey, so I moved here to join him. When I was looking for home church in New Jersey, I knew God would provide a place where I could know him better and serve other people better. I know his gracious desire is to have all of the lost children to come back to his kingdom. I first heard Alpha when I had a picnic with my Christian sisters, Marianne and Karen and her kids in a community park. The reason to bring out our conversation about reaching out for international missionary, especially for Asian people, is because at that time, I was deeply troubled by my pre-believing Asian friends. I did not know if it was the language barrier or cultural differences. I found more and more of my friends got lost again after they moved to a new area. So I talked my concern with Marianne. I was so surprised to find out she had the same concern. In fact, she had served for International Alpha Program, especially for people from Asia in Seattle. I remembered my heart rejoiced and said amen at that moment. Though I was very new in this area, God had never forgotten me and other people in a foreign land. I would like to share two things that impressed me most about the Alpha program. First, this program is all about serving instead of teaching. In an Alpha meeting, you don't have to feel openly discussing your concerns about Christianity and your personal life. And it provides an absolutely friendly environment for people who have the desire to know God for themselves. Second, I love what Alpha people value. It is a process of self-discovery. No pressure, no personal judgment. It is God's wonderful plan to adopt us as his children. People who have already received the Lord are his co-workers. There's nothing believer can achieve, but only he himself can fulfill his wonderful plan. He wants to finish his job through us because he knows it is good for us. So 1 week before I moved out from my old apartment last summer, I met some new neighbors. I invited them to the summer Alpha program. They were actually mother and daughter. The mother received the Lord during the Alpha courses, and the daughter has decided to be baptized this coming May 5th at our church. Moreover, God did not forget my own family. I always think I'm the luckiest person because the Lord loves me so much. I was pregnant during the summer Alpha classes, so my mom, as our tradition, came from China to help us with our first baby. This was the second time my mom visited us in the United States. She had visited us 2 years ago. I remember at the first visit, for some reason, it was very hard for her to grasp the idea of such a powerful God would like to die for sinners. It was even harder for her to admit she was a sinner. I know my mom is a very nice person. However, this time the Lord just opened her in an amazing way. I sometimes thought it was a miracle. She received the Lord and became my dearest sister in Jesus Christ last summer. When I asked her opinion about offer, she said the classes were the most reasonable and standing classes she had never taken. Everything became simple and clear. It answered her many doubts and clarified her misunderstanding about the only true God. Last August, I had also received another great blessing and a miracle in my life. My husband and I had our first baby, Albert. And I just want to be here to thank you, my Jesus, my Lord, and our Savior.
I'd heard a little bit on the phone, but I didn't realize that it was both her mother and two neighbors that came to the Lord through Ning last year. So that's terrific. Our next speaker is Marianne Gordon. In a note to me, said that she is a native of the Republic of Texas. But she has also lived in Jackson, Wyoming, and in both Washington's, East and West Coast, and Frankfurt, Germany. And currently she lives near Princeton. During her time in Seattle, she became a lead speaker and speaker coach for Alpha. Sometimes Alpha, come on up, Marianne. And sometimes Alpha is the talks come from a DVD, and sometimes they are given by a speaker. And when Marianne was at her church, about which she will say more, she became both a lead speaker and a speaker coach of Alpha in her church. She and her husband, Bruce, who teaches at King's College in Manhattan, worship at Westerly Road in Princeton. And let's also give Marianne a warm Crossroads welcome.
How's that?
Great.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Harry. I appreciate that. And good morning, everyone at Crossroads Community Church. Ni hao. Annyeonghaseyo. Konnichiwa. Buenos dias. And howdy y'all, as we would say in the great land of Texas. It is truly a joy and an honor to be with you this morning, and I thank you so much for honoring my dear sister Ning and me by welcoming us this morning. And I've just heard wonderful things about what's happening here at Crossroads, so it's a joy to get to meet you in person and to get to share a little bit about two of my favorite topics. One of which I believe we already have in common, which is a love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Alpha and the Omega. And as we were singing this morning, the beginning and the end are Savior and Messiah. And that's indeed why we're here. And another favorite topic of mine is all about that Lord and Savior, that Alpha Omega, and that's the Alpha Course, which is, of course, rooted in Jesus and in a biblical model, as we were learning this morning, even in Scripture, about Christ reaching out to those who do not yet know him and just sharing with them in community over a meal and just really bonding and building community that way. And really, that's what Alpha is about. And isn't it so much easier to get to know someone when food is involved? And I think it's no coincidence that our Lord has used Holy Communion, indeed, as we eat the bread and drink the cup and remember him, as a special way of remembering him, that we also remember as we get to know others, that meeting together over a meal is so important. And, of course, another very important key element of Alpha is the teaching, and that it's very simple, because, indeed, the gospel is simple, but very, very pure, powerful truth. And I was I was so delighted to hear about Alpha for the first time, actually, in another country. I happen to be in Canada with my husband. We'd just gotten married, and he is from Canada, so we were up there visiting family. And I saw this big billboard, "Is there more than this to life?" And I thought, what a great question. And then found out later this was the Alpha Course. It was a Christian ministry. My husband and I had just moved to Seattle. And there we became affiliated with a church which had a great international ministry. And I have a heart for the nations, and I have a calling to missions. And in fact, when I met my husband, he asked what I was called to do with my life, and he shared what he was called to do with his life, and I said, I'm going to Papua New Guinea to translate the Bible. And he said, I'm not. So I said, it's nice to meet you. But the Lord had other plans, and indeed he took me to Seattle and has now brought me to New Jersey. And I find, lo and behold, the nations are here. And that indeed we can all do missions wherever we are. And so as I was worshiping at this church in Seattle, they had what was known and is known as the Alpha for ESOL course, or Alpha for English Speakers of Other Languages. And in fact, I came to find out that church had pioneered this ministry, which is now all over the world. So I had an amazing opportunity to be mentored by and to serve with as a member of the team of the Alpha ESOL team there at Westminster Chapel in Bellevue, Washington. And as Pastor Harry was sharing, I had an opportunity there to be the speaker, lead speaker, as well as the speaker coach. And it was such an amazing time. And I found out more and more about why Alpha was so important at Westminster Chapel. And it turned out that, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a little town called Redmond, Washington, or a little company called Microsoft, or another little company called Nintendo. But Bellevue, Washington is actually right in the center of the IT industry in the Seattle area. And what had started out decades ago as a small suburban church now found itself in a very different environment. And the pastor of that church decided in the early 90s, you know, we need to do something. Our demographics are changing. Our church membership is actually shrinking. It's growing older. We're not really connecting with our community. We need to do something to reach out to others. And they heard about the Alpha Course. It started the Alpha Course. And it transformed Westminster Chapel. And now, for those of you who I know have done some training with Alpha, been connected with Alpha, you may have even heard of Pastor Gary Gulbranson, who is the lead pastor at Westminster Chapel. He's actually a very humble guy, but he's pretty amazing, and his staff there. But as Pastor Gary will tell you, through the Alpha Course, not only did they find it did bring in new members, because the thing about Alpha is, as people come in contact with the gospel, the Lord changes lives. And as Ning was sharing, he changes lives one by one, but also as a group. Because you do meet as a group, and then you break into small groups to talk about what was covered in the talk, what topic was covered that day. And in that way, you're vulnerable, you're building trust, you're building community. And in that way, people came into the church understanding that church is community, and that we are a member of the body of Christ, that we're a member of the vine, and that only when we're connected to Christ can we grow. And so the Alpha ESOL ministry kind of came out of that, simply as a way of reaching out to others. And as I saw that the Church of Westminster was transformed, indeed in reaching out to the community, it went from being essentially about 99.9% Caucasian and sort of European descent to being much more interesting, much more like heaven. There were people from many different backgrounds and ethnicities and nationalities, and many people from China, from Korea, from Japan, from Spanish-speaking countries, from many, many places around the world. And it was so exciting to see that. And in fact, if you ever have a chance to visit Seattle around the time of the Lunar New Year, try to stop into Westminster Chapel's Lunar New Year celebration, because it is huge, it's amazing, it's festive. It was my introduction, really, to the Lunar New Year, and just beautiful. And one thing I also found through this ESOL ministry, as we served together on a team, and I served on both the Friday noon team, which was mostly for women, as well as a Sunday night team, which was an outreach to everyone. So it was a collection of Microsoft engineers, as well as students of the local community college, and really anyone from any country. But then on Fridays, the church had a Japanese preschool. And the moms of these preschoolers, many of them had husbands who were working at Microsoft, Nintendo, children who were in preschool or in school, but the moms were at home. And they wanted friends. They wanted to learn English. And so we had this alpha group for them. And it was a great chance to for them to make friends, to learn English, and most importantly, to hear the gospel. And it was just, it was so much fun. We had so much food from all over, and that was really fun. But also, I just remember sitting around as we were praying together in a circle, and the different languages that you would hear people praying, and realizing that the Lord understood every single word, how he draws us together to himself. And as I was working with this beautiful group of women and saw one by one women come to the Lord, even with very difficult questions, I learned that, you know, there's an old saying that it's the teacher who learns the most. And I found that true in my own life. One of the important parts about Alpha is what's called the Getaway Weekend or the Holy Spirit Weekend. And it's called the Holy Spirit Weekend because I know coming from my own background, I grew up in a church in Texas that is Moravian Brethren and very similar, I think, in many ways to the Presbyterian Church. And while we learned about the Holy Spirit, there seemed to be much more emphasis on the other two persons of the Trinity. So I like that about Alpha, that we learned about the Holy Spirit and what he does, how important he is, and actually had a chance to connect with God personally at this retreat. And there, among other things, we had a reminder of God's promises and who he is as our Father. Sorry, this is an important personal part for me. And as we were learning about the promises of God, and I was reflecting on God's role as Father, perfect, ideal, loving Father, who never makes mistakes, who is always there, always just, but always merciful. I was reminded of my own relationship with my own earthly father. And I've heard it said that for many people, sometimes some of the closest relationships in our lives can also be some of the most painful relationships in our lives. And although the Lord has done so much healing in my life and in my father's life, there was still some very painful memories there. And I realized during that time on the retreat that my dad was human. I'm human. But my dad accepted the Lord, and we're both children in his eyes. And the Lord did a lot of healing in me that weekend. And I'm so glad to say that although my dad and I were close, we were even closer after that time, and we had joyful conversations, and that meant especially so much to me. Sorry. When just a few months ago, while I was overseas on a missions trip, my earthly father was called home to be with my heavenly father. And while I rejoice that he's there, I'm so glad he's there. And he's perfectly healed now, and he's celebrating that life that we will all have, those of us who have new life in Christ. I was especially thankful that the Lord had given me that opportunity that weekend, at the Holy Spirit weekend, to have that healing in my relationship with my dad. And that when he passed, there was no bitterness. There was no unforgiveness there, but true joy and true love and thankfulness for him. And I think true transformation, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a small group, it starts with the individual. And Jesus knew that. And that's why he reached out to people one-on-one. Scripture is full of one-to-one conversations that Christ had with people. And I think that's why Alpha is so important. It creates a safe place for those one-to-one conversations. And just as the Lord has been faithful throughout Scripture, throughout history, he's also faithful to us as individuals. I've experienced that in my own life. The Lord didn't take me to Papua New Guinea. He took me to Seattle and now to the East Coast, and he's about to take my husband and me again to Texas. He was also faithful regarding my dad. And I just rejoice in the ability to serve him and to serve with those of you who will be involved in Alpha here. And just thank him that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we can think or imagine. I ask his blessing on each of you and ask you to consider, if you haven't already, participating in the Alpha course. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Ning is from China, and so she had her experience. And Marianne is this sort of super international woman. She's gone to school in Waco. She's been in Seattle. She's been in Germany. She's been in both Washingtons. But what about Jersey? What about a Jersey girl? And so we have a treat for you next about a church in South Jersey in Medford. The church is around 2,500 on a given Sunday, but at Easter and Christmas it goes up to about 4,500. And what has caused that church to grow greatly is the Alpha Course. You're about to hear, before you hit play, I'll just tell you who you're about to see. You're about to see primarily a couple. Tony Hacker and Rob and Tony are members of Fellowship Alliance in Medford, and they're going to be in sort of the middle of the stage about here. It's very obvious who they are. And then as you look at what you're going to see is it's really an Alpha group. It's about 9 or so adults who were in Alpha together, and quite a few of them are greatly affected by the Alpha. There it is. This is Rob, and this is Tony. This is Brad, who's the leader of Alpha, the course that they went through. When the camera pans back, you'll see down in front, you'll see the church. It's a large church. You'll see over on the far right-hand side, there's a way over to the right. Nope, that's fine. You'll see on the far right another couple, and that the man in that couple is Rob's brother, and he has quite a tumultuous background, but he became a believer, and his wife became a believer through the same Alpha course where Rob and Tony became believers. The Hacker family, Rob and Tony Hacker, and the brother on the far right is a Hacker. When you go to church at the 9:30 service at Medford Alliance Church, the first three rows of a quite large church are Hackers. It's a big Italian Catholic family, and then just many of them became believers through this program, and without much further ado, here are Rob and Tony.
And how Alpha fits into that.
Sure, Brad. As you've read in my story, I didn't have a normal childhood, anything but that. And early on in life, I was pretty much thrown into a pit, like Joseph was. And I married Rob there, and I did a good show of decorating my walls. And life in the pit, you are never on stable ground. You're on dirt. And so when the rain would come, I would sink in the mud. And in 1986, the biggest storm of our life came when we lost our only child in a house fire. And I was sinking real quick, and I was barely treading water for many, many years. And I stayed there, and I had three more children and tried to do the best I could in raising them, but I was so depressed, and I just was so lost. And we were Catholic at the time, and I would go to church, and I just couldn't see God. I just couldn't find him. And that led us here last December. And I came here for the first time, and God was here. I couldn't believe. I've never in my life, all the years I went to the Catholic Church, I never saw people love God. And I came here, and I just saw the worship teams and people with their hands in the air and clapping, and I had never seen that. I had just, you know, grew up with an organ and one or two people singing, and the congregation didn't join in. And I wanted what they had, and I didn't know how to go about it, so I just went and signed up for Alpha with my very dear best friend, Robin Lee. She took me, and she was amazing. She was trying to bring me to Christ, and I just didn't know where to even start. And she did Alpha with me. And on the third week, they did, Nikki Gumbel did Why Did Jesus Die? And all my years growing up in the church, I never really understood about Jesus' sacrifice. Not really. I mean, it was just words to me. And that night when I watched the lecture, I realized that God didn't forget about me, because most of my life, that's how I felt. I felt God forgot about me. And I realized he didn't forget about me. And I saw his love, how much he loved me. And one of my main things in life was, how could he allow the suffering to happen? So many things. I often felt like my life was like Job's. It was just one thing after another, after another, after another, just suffering and suffering and sickness and so many things that didn't even make it into the focus. But I realized that night, I took home two pamphlets, Why Did Jesus Die and Why Does God Allow Suffering? And I read them, and everybody was asleep that night, and I was just on my knees, and I was just so sorry that I had led such a self-absorbed life. My whole life I had always been focused on my suffering, everything that I was going through, and I never realized what God did, which brought me to the cross. And I was just at the feet of Jesus that night, and I just was, I said in my article, floored by Jesus, and that's what I meant by when I said that. And Jesus just reached down his hand, and he pulled me up out of my pit that night and put me on solid ground for the first time in my life. And now I know there may be storms, but I'll be okay. And one of the hardest things for me to do that I forgot to mention in the other services, so there must be a reason why I need to say this, but one of the hardest things for me to do, which I did that night, was surrender not only myself, but my children, because I had to control their destiny. I had to keep them safe. I could not lose another child. And so I thought, I had to control their destiny and what was going to happen to them. And that night I gave not only myself, but my children to God. And I know that no matter what happens from here on in, we're all going to be okay. We're all going to be okay.
I have only known the hackers since this Alpha experience, which is after Tony and Rob have gone through this transformation, and it's amazing to me because when I think at you and I look at you, all I think about is you are one of the most joyful people I know, and what a testimony to God's graciousness. Thank you for sharing that. Rob, I want you to ignore the monitor. And is there anything else that, as the other half of this equation, you'd like to share?
The reason why we're laughing, because every service, I have to tell you this real quick, is that every time I get the mic, there's this little monitor up here that says, 1 minute remaining. So that's why we're at a giggle. No, Benny said we But to follow along with that, I mean, you know, I've been sitting here for the last minute or two, and I know we've done this a couple services now, and I think some of the amazing things that's been taking place in my wife and I's life is that, like my wife just had said, it's inspired us to bring the Word of God to our children. You know, I think a lot of us forget that sometimes. You know, we're so absorbed about ourselves and the worldly things that are going on. You know, I know we want to do everything. We've always tried to do right with our children, but we never thought that, wow, you know, God is amazing. I mean, we sit at home now, you know, to sit around the dinner table every night. We can't eat till we pray. I mean, a year ago, that wasn't happening. This is amazing. I mean, in this Alpha course that we're talking about today, is something that I would encourage anyone out there that has a friend, a family member, someone that you might think that it could help just a little bit. I would encourage you to sign them up. Maybe it's not for you, but it could be for them. I mean, and a great example is my brother sitting here. You know, I would have never thought that he would have came and sat there today and told you his story. I would have never, ever thought that would happen. So I'm telling you, God is good.
And you may wonder why we're spending so much time to focus on Alpha. And the reason is that right after Easter, we're going to have two adult classes. Already our teens are training for the fall. They're going down. Our high school group is going down to Westerly, to Marianne and Ning's church, on Sunday nights to be trained, and they'll be starting up an Alpha course in the fall, our high school group. But I'd like to ask Maureen Claire now to come and talk about ways in which we all can be part of what God is going to be starting to do right after Easter. Maureen, would you come? How can we all help?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody. This church has been amazingly supportive of Alpha from the beginning, and Dan Wu has been coordinating everything. He's been, you know, trying to persuade everybody to help out. He's been great. and we're doing a lot. In your bulletins today, there's a registration form, and it explains about the Alpha course, the basic structure of it, who it's for. We're going to be having an introductory dinner on April 18th, and it's very low pressure. You could bring a friend so they could check it out. And then if they want to enroll, they'll be able to enroll in the course, which will start the following week. We are doing some advertising, but what we need you to do is to spend some time in prayer. Ask God to bring someone to your mind that you think this would be great for. And maybe it's you. You know, one thing I read in the Alpha training materials is that coming to church a lot is like walking into a movie halfway through. We don't have enough reference points to make a lot of sense of it. And Alpha kind of fills in the gaps. It explains, you know, so many things that we've struggled with, even as Christians. I'm looking forward to it to learn myself, even though I've been a Christian for a while. But look at the registration form. Think of someone you can invite. Think about if you'd like to participate. Another thing we need is prayer. People praying for Alpha. We've been praying on our own, the Alpha team, for a while, but we need all the prayers we can get. A big thing that we need is meals. A big part of Alpha is community. People come in after a long day of work, they want to relax, and we sit down and have a meal together. And there's going to be, it's a 10-week course, there's going to be two nights, so that's 20 meals. It's a lot of food. And Deb Krieger and Connie Warner are coordinating that, and we have a sign-up sheet. If you'd like to cook one meal or more, it's on the Alpha table in the back, so after the service, if you're interested, you can sign up for that. And also promoting. We have some posters. We have bumper stickers. I think we have one lawn sign left. If you live in a pretty busy corner, you can put it in your yard. James and I have one or a couple up right now. And let me see, anything else? And we need helpers. The structure of the small group is usually two facilitators, two helpers, and eight participants. We try to keep it small so everybody feels comfortable and can voice their opinions and questions and concerns about Christianity. And we only have one helper so far, and we're hoping to have three groups. So if you're interested, a helper, pretty much you're just there to make people feel comfortable and pray. So if that's something that appeals to you, you know, see Dan after the service or me. And if you want, after you fill out the registration form, you can put it in the offering basket as it comes around, or you can email it. You can download it on our website. Henry was great and uploaded all of our changes and updates to the church website. So I think that's about it. But thank you again. This church is amazing. My husband and I have been going here for a year, and just the warmth and love that we've experienced here has really changed us, and I just want to thank you.
Thank the Lord. Now's the time to lift our hearts and our gifts to the Lord. If you're visiting here today, feel no pressure to give. Giving to our church is the privilege and responsibility of the members. And so the ushers are about to come and receive the offering. Let's lift our hearts and our gifts to the Lord.